I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Randy Chapman, the lead producer and editor for the Color Gray podcast. This week, we are posting a special in our feed. Continue listening to hear an episode of a new Domino Sound original show, hashtag Triggered. Triggered is hosted by Nalika Radway of the Raising Rebels podcast and Andrea O'Brien of The Cheat Code. Join these forever friends as they discuss all things in the media that has them triggered. You can catch new episodes of Hashtag Triggered every Friday wherever you get your podcasts.
Trigger, 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 trigger.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Nalika.
It's that time of week again.
Time for Triggered.
Woo-hoo! For Triggered. Trigger, trigger, triggered. Where we review all of the things that have triggered us. Well, not everything, because sometimes I'd be exhausted.
I'd be overwhelming you with triggers.
Something. Some of the things that have triggered us this week. So we like to start with sharing our tarot with all the people. Share with people. What did you get today?
So this morning, using that new world tarot, I got the Ten of Pentacles. And as you can see, she is walking on a tightrope. She is security, Mercury, and Virgo. So lots of things happening there. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it was like, you have what you need. You're like, you're in that space of ready for the fight. You've been through the trauma. You need to now recognize how you're going to apply this thing. Like, mm-hmm. Are you going to apply it for community? Are you going to, like, you basically have everything you need. So in times of abundance, share with people. And in times of lack, make sure you're collecting the right things, sort of thing. But it's like, you're already ready for battle. Like, you already have all the things. You've already amassed your arsenal. And you just need to accept your abundance and go ahead and share it and not act like things are going away. And so it also talked about the way we define success and abundance has changed. So it might have been material before, but now it is probably resources and other things you need. And so it came right on time from a conversation I was having yesterday about how I want to create this whole community. We can get into that.
We'll get into that. Not here, but we're going to talk.
We'll talk about that.
That's so interesting you say that, because I've also been thinking about creating, cultivating a community.
Yeah, so.
But that's fascinating.
So you were high too. You were high too. Okay, cool.
Listen. We got to take care of ourselves. It's important. We got to do what makes us happy. Cool. So,
What was your card?
You know, it's not the first time, not the last time, not the second time. It just keeps coming, you know, it just comes around.
Every so this often. Card.
Just to remind me, you know,
I got the first ever tarot card.
This card is about giving yourself the space to heal and to recognize that there is pain and, like, sorrow. And that, like, now is not necessarily the time to be digging all into it. Like, there's this line around, like, don't kind of, like, peel off the scabs. This ain't time. This time to just, like, let that shit scab over. Like,
don't pick
just
at it.
Lay out. Just, like, just maintain. And, like, love on yourself. And so last night, there were a lot of tears in my household with my people because we're just, like, missing our family. And being outside and, like, funny enough, like, the kids are missing connecting with new people, like, just being in the world and, like, engaging with new people. Some of them, like, not everybody, but some people, and other people are just really missing family. So, yeah, that's sorrow. So that's what we're feeling. So that's what I'm moving with. So, Anne, tell us, what do you have for us
this week?
I know.
It's so much.
I know. every week. There's so many things, okay. But it's good. It helps the people.
Okay, I'm actually going to start with a good one, like a nine. So this music,
a happy trigger.
So this week, well, not really this week. Over the last couple of weeks, I have been discovering new music, and it has been magical because it took me back to a time in the 90s when like neo soul was like. Mm-hmm. Every other week, it was like a new person was dropping, and only like four or five of them still exist to this day because I have lots of one album wonder people. But I discovered some new music and then turned my partner Jason on to some old music that he had never heard because it made me dig in the crates. So the three new bodies of work that I discovered, there is a group called, or a woman called Yaya Bae, and I'll include the links. And she,
I love that name, right. Yaya Bae.
And she, the album is called The Madison Tapes, and particularly this one song called Patterson Plank that I discovered because I was, you know, I go down a rabbit hole on Instagram. Sonya Renee Taylor follows this other woman. So I pressed on a quote the woman said. She's smoking a blunt, listening to something in the background. I forget what she's talking about and hear the music. And
I can't
she listed the artist. So I went to the artist and I was like, this sounds dope. Download it. It's Yaya Bae.
Oh, wow.
Listen to the album and was so moved and transported. I was in a park walking and just
listened. Let me put that on my list right now. Yeah. Wait, transported.
Yeah, I was like, this reminds me of young people creating, just sitting in a room, talking and creating. And you could tell, it was like, you could tell like this was a group of friends. This one woman's voice is beautiful. And a group of friends creating. And I'm like, this is the movement. This here is the, it feels like home, even though I know I'm probably twice these people's age. It was still like, this is what it felt like. I remember this.
I'm excited about this.
The second person is a girl named Jordan, or a young woman named Jordan. And she is the cousin of some folks we have in common. In Brooklyn, large family of girls.
Yes. I've been seeing this.
So Jason,
shout out to the whites.
So Jason, I'm thinking he's listening to Yaya Bae because this flowed right into it. He's out in the kitchen, and I'm like, no, wait, what's this? And I didn't pay attention to it, and then he played it again in the car, and I'm like, these young people are they're in a, and it's her name is Jordan. And I think the album is called like It Only Took the End of the World.
Yes, I was like, this is dope. That title is dope
because how much that does that write? How like, much truth is there in that? Like, It Only Took the End of the World. And then the last album, and I'll be quick about it, is I think I'm saying his name wrong. Right. Giveon, and the album is called Take Time. And his voice is almost a little unexpected. And it's a funky R&B, old school. I'm like, not quite Jodeci, not quite Joe, but then it's so neo when he drops it, when he sings. And it's like a short body of work, and it's so good. And I was like, I can play these three on and just be in a moment. And I will drop all the links. Giveon is Giveon. And I was like, I'm here for all of these young people. And it made me rediscover a person named Joy, J-O-I, and her first album, And I was like, oh, she was dope. And it was like 19, and she was on Video Music Box or Video Jukebox. So we used to have to order. Video.
Oh my God.
And she had this song called Sunshine in the Rain. And I was like, that made me buy her album, The Pendulum Vibe. And that's J-O-I. And that album was so dope. And I played a song for Jason. And he was like, yo, you be holding out on me, yo. How come? I was like, I'm like, the song is from 1994. I didn't know you. So I'll put all of this in the
I'm so happy you started with music.
Yeah, I was like transported this past few days. Because it was a hard past few days.
Listen, I'm so happy that you started with music. Mine are pretty good. I mean, you know, just triggered, right? So something that I've discovered, something new literally this week, very recently, is this podcast called Busy Being Black.
Ooh.
It's hosted by Josh Rivers. I never knew this person. I don't know nothing about any of this, but it was like sitting, I started listening to a podcast, and you know, sometimes they'll put up recommendations, and it was like sitting there, and I read it up. I was like, I think I might be interested in this. I think I might be interested in this. And then I listened to it. I am hooked.
Oh. What's it about?
Josh Rivers. Okay, so Josh Rivers is a queer black man who grew up in the U.S. that currently lives in London.
Okay.
Who is a writer and like a thinker, intellectual, and what he does on his podcast. So basically busy being is kind of like a saying, I think, in London, I think. So I'm busy being.
Yep. Fabulous. Black woman. Like, yeah, whatever.
And so his is busy being black. And he's really kind of looking at himself, mm-hmm. and how he's grown and developed in his understanding of his blackness and like his queerness and how it all comes together. And he interviews these like black queer writers, artists. I mean, like the wideness of the people he's speaking to is like so dope. Like black Buddhists, he was talking this one. Anyway, they're all really good. But one episode particularly that really kind of like triggered me was one about where he interviewed the founders of a organization called Charity So White. Hmm. And what they do is think about how just push back on the charity sector, like the nonprofit sector,
yep.
in all of their like systemic racism and like how white supremacy functions within these organizations that are supposed to be meeting the needs of people of color. And one of the women on the that he was speaking to just spoke about this idea of data and how, you know, we use so much of the so many industries, particularly charity, nonprofit work, getting grants, is all wrapped up in data.
Yeah.
And like data is going to save the like save the world, or data is going to tell us the real story, when actually anecdotal stories, people's lived experiences is as powerful.
Yes. You need
and
nuance.
As relevant as the data.
Data doesn't have nuance. You have to analyze it.
No.
People have to analyze it.
Exactly. Right. And it doesn't tell you what you need to do in order to solve the problem.
Yes.
And so it was really, like I said, I'm go and listen to this podcast. That's my boo in my head. That's my friend. Like, you don't know me yet. We
y'all about to be friends.
We will.
Y'all about to be friends.
We about to be such good friends. I'm about to, like, we about to be such good friends. His voice is, like, perfect. And he asks such interesting questions. Like, I think part of it is I really like that episode, and that it triggered me because I feel like I'm constantly, that's something I know. And it had hindered me for a long time to engage in conversations because I didn't have the data,
yeah.
or the facts behind what I was saying or thinking, and feeling like then it wasn't valid or
right.
I wouldn't be heard. And kind of when I divorced myself from that idea and like kind of pushed that aside as like, that's part of that white supremacy, I have been so freed and have engaged and like helped people and been helped and like been in community in such strong ways. And I think the other part of it that it was triggering for me, and like the kind of conversations that he's having are like the things you know me, and like I want to talk around heady shit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't want to do nothing else. I just want to be around in a living room, anybody's living room, just
talking and talking about the things.
And just talking about the universe and our lives and race and class and intersectionality and da 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 da, and hearing stories. That's like my thing. And during this quarantine,
we have not been able to sit in that way.
I haven't been able to, like, that's like my, like, you know, the kids are like, what do you do for fun? I'm like, talk. Like, I want to, like, intellectualize.
Yeah, just taking and leave room for ratchet, but
yeah,
talk.
Oh, it's all part of it. It's all part
of the right.
That's all in it. That's all in it. That's all in it. That's it. That's us. So I really missed it, and it was like, it was triggering for me, but in like good ways,
in a good way.
So yeah, what else do you have for us, Anne?
Okay, I have so much. I'm gonna go back to a trigger that we spoke about last week or the week before.
Oh,
P-Valley, girl.
Oh yeah. Oh, you got in. You got it in.
Watched
you got
the it first in. Two episodes of P-Valley.
Listen.
So without spoilers,
I didn't get to episode 2 yet.
Oh, and episode 3 is tonight.
Okay.
So
okay.
First of all, first part of my trigger You see me wiping my head for those of you.
I know. I saw you got hot. I told you.
I watched it.
First of all, it's in Mississippi.
It is in Mississippi. We figured that out.
It's in Mississippi. Yes.
Watched it with Jason and also with my 16-year-old Naya.
Whoa.
Because she's rolling through the house, interested. So the first.
Well, first of all, a question. Did she look surprised when she saw a strip club, or did it seem familiar to her?
Oh, super familiar. We're watching it. Cool. Trap okay. Music. She walks in. What trap we watching? We sitting down.
There you go.
All I'm going to say is we made it through the first episode because, you know, she's a mature 16-year-old. I'm open with her about sex and sexuality and people's needs that, you know, are not shameful or anyway. And people's, you know.
It does it so well.
We get through the first episode and we kept stopping it and going, these are real places. There are Black cowboys riding down the street. These are storefronts that look, you know, dilapidated, but are somehow living, whatever. And I'm like, these are things that we have no clue and concept of, ways of life that we have no clue and concept about. They're still very much American. It's an experience we don't get. And always recognizing that, wow, like there's whole sets of people and Black people that we don't fully get and understand, but there's a shared Black experience. Also stopping it and saying, thank you, Lord, for living in a vital area where I don't have to worry about the factory left or the casino left or what have you. And my whole shit is broken down. So we kept stopping it. So that was interesting. Then we get to through the second episode and we get to about 5 minutes before the end and something sexual went on that was so much that both she and I picked up our phones acting like we was looking at something else. And then finally, she just got up. And Jason was like, I was wondering when one of y'all was going to say something. And I was like, well, I didn't want to seem like the bougie mom. And she was like, yeah, we going to still watch it. My daughter was like, no, I'm going to watch the show, but not with you. Like, we good. And so I was like, I'm not going to stop you from watching it. I can't watch this with you. This is too much.
That's fair.
About the show, and I don't want to give a lot of spoilers, is the absolute humanity of every character on the show.
So good.
The dichotomy between the church and the strip club. And when you get to episode 2, there's some real pastor shenanigans.
Yes. We know it's coming.
And the one spoiler I will give is he dangles in front of one of the main stripper's moms like this, I may let you preach one day. And as an incentive for her to do something for him. And I can't give the thing away, but it's this whole, like, the whole thing was triggering. Watching it with her, the church versus the strip club thing, everybody's humanity. And it was also the, oh, because we don't let women preach, but we let women do the work of the church. So there was a whole, P-Valley has a whole lot, and I'm only on episode 2, and episode 3 starts tonight. So I'm like, y'all need to, or episode 3 starts at some point soon. I don't even know. Y'all go out and watch this.
However that got greenlit, whatever happened to make that happen, I really appreciate it. I know a lot of people probably had to work really hard
to get that together.
The integrity of the story, you know what I mean? It was, someone on Twitter had made a comment around, you know, when you're casting for Mississippi, you should make sure you get a dialect coach or somebody who lives down there. And then the writer clapped back and was like, I'm from Mississippi. The director, like, you just read them, like, just we live here. This is the realness. Everybody I know talks like
there's things I can't understand. I have to rewind it because Uncle Clifford is talking so fast that I'm like, I don't know what you just said. And just speaking English, let me go back.
But this is the thing. I think, like, more people telling their own stories. It's so unfamiliar to us that when it happens, you don't even when it's your part, like, that's your story, sort of, you don't trust it. You're like, that's you.
And,
like,
and then
I appreciate that
the colorism thing with the main girl who's light skin and that, but she's also a British actress that was in Harry Potter for 5 minutes. She was at the beginning of one of the Harry Potters. It was a waitress he meets in a restaurant.
What?
And he's supposed to meet her for a date. And then Dumbledore comes in and takes him away. It's like the Half-Blood Prince or something like that. And I was like, yeah, she's the cute girl with the big afro that Harry was about to, like, you know, about to get some date on with. And it never materialized. And so, because me and Naya are looking up who she is, of course, because this is also
what we do. Of course. That sounds fantastic.
So that was my that was two.
That was great. I'm going to I will say something that my kids have turned me on to. So I definitely am always looking for content that I feel like I want to watch and they want to watch, and also is not whiteness on steroids, cartoons, especially.
You found things that are not whiteness on steroids.
So it's hard. You gotta But I am about this life. So and I've trained them up. Mm-hmm. So they're when they find something, they be mad excited. And so there's a cartoon on streaming on Netflix called Kippo, the Age of the Wonder Beast, and it's really good. It's really good. I won't tell too much of it. But basically, it's an alternative universe, and the main character has been trapped underground for ever. And was born underground, didn't know what's going on. Maybe some kind of apocalyptic thing happened on the surface, and comes up from underground, and because of it, has lost all the color in her skin, so she looks purple. And the other two main characters are black. When I look through who's voicing the characters, who's writing it, you could just tell there's a because sometimes most times will have black characters or characters of color, but really the story is still very much a whitewash story. How they speak, how they engage, it's not culturally diverse in any way. It's just maybe shading. And sometimes that shading is real light, real barely, you could be but maybe not. And this show is dealing with real topics. There's one scene with the main character. She's feeling a connection with the other male main character, and she's talking about him, and she's oh my god, we get along so much. And she's I really like you. And he was like me. And she's yeah, I really like you. And he's I'm gay. But it was such a perfect scene. I mean, they must be 12 years old, and he was I get it, but I'm
this is not a thing.
I get down. And she was embarrassed about it, but he was it's cool. It was just such a nice this happens in such a nice scene, and it's funny and it's interesting. And one thing particularly about it that was triggering, my oldest came and she's like, Mommy, I really want to watch this with you. She's like, it has three main characters that are black. I mean, I think they're all black. The other one, I know her dad's black for sure. And she was when these things happen, it makes me feel we've arrived. And she's like, I know it's not true. I know that's not real, but I feel like that a little bit. And it kind of was one of those things of
yes.
Which is so great. You're aware.
Yep.
And then heartbreaking because you're aware.
Yep.
And then heartbreaking because it's true.
You know what I mean? True.
All those levels of Kippo, the Age of the Wonder Beast, is there, and I really do appreciate it. And happy that I'm always hunting. There's tons of them. I'll share more in the future whenever they come up. But yeah,
okay,
for sure.
So my third, I'm going to give you a viewer's choice.
Ooh.
I have three. You tell me what you want to talk about.
Oh damn! All right. Go ahead. I'm ready.
Kanye West and Kim.
Oh shit!
Right. Second one is Regis Philbin. Passing away.
Okay, let me hear number three. Let me hear those first two.
Right, it's a lie.
Go ahead, number three.
Number three is a whole community that we found called Christian Mothers Against Masturbation.
Number three. What?
Right.
Are these black people?
We don't know.
Okay.
So in one of the ratchet chats that I'm a part of, that Jason and I are a part of, share, the ratchetry that we feel like this is the underbelly of the dark side of us, and we can't share this with any other people. So it's four of us in this chat.
That's great.
Right. So, and then we share things, and then we correct. I'm like, okay, man, you can't say that. You can't share that. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, okay, is this safe? We have evolved. It's been years, and we have evolved. It's been great.
Oh, wow.
No, it's been fantastic. It's been fantastic.
That's great.
But Wednesdays is usually like our dark time that it's like, it's Wednesday, y'all. We just going to go ahead and do this. Tub day. We got to get through the week.
And we all need our safe space.
We all need a safe space. Like Wednesday, we just doing it. We just doing it.
It's true.
So Jason posts something that are all of these memes that you think are jokes about, you know, masturbation. I'll put some in the okay. thing, but it's like, don't press the devil's doorbell on the way to hell. And they're talking about a woman's clitoris, and they're talking about a woman, like they're literally calling your clitoris the devil's doorbell.
And wait, slow down now. You gotta slow down.
I can't slow down because this is how I was walking.
So you're going down, you find these memes. Oh, Jason finds these memes. He's posting them.
He thinks they're funny. He thinks they're jokes, and then says, wait, okay, let me look, and realizes it's a whole true community of people that are convinced that masturbation is a form, a super sin, a form of devilry. Men want to marry real virgins, and if you've had an orgasm or if you've pleasured yourself, the whole thing. So, and the memes get steadily worse and worse. And so we will put them in the links, but there's more. And so the conversation around, and then other people in the group who were like, yeah, you know, I was in the church. This is a thing. And it was like, but wait, it's 2020. And it's just so.
But doesn't the church, sorry.
And this is the trigger.
I don't understand.
Get to it.
Don't you think that there is something there that you are so obsessed with sex and sexuality and how people, like, why is this what you're talking about? If it's not, if it ain't for you, it ain't for you. Don't talk about it. Like, this is what you need to preach about?
To this level.
This is what we need to spend our time?
To this level where I'm by myself in my own abode and you are worried
that I am pleasuring myself.
And that you're, like, and you're shaming your children to the point where it's, and clearly, if everybody's doing it, then everybody's doing it, then we were probably designed to do so. Right?
I'm gonna tell you something. This is triggering. It's not. First of all, two things. One is, because I've been caught up in this way that poor my friend Jason did, where you like share something or you tweet something. You know, like
you don't even realize it, right?
But you didn't dig deep into it. It like resonated with you on some surface level, and you're like, oh, this makes sense. And then you dig a little deep and like, oh damn, look what I done got caught up with.
Okay.
And so I get real.
The devil's doorbell. If you ring it, he will answer.
I can't.
And I'm only showing you that one. There, he sent like four. And I was like,
I can't.
What is happening right now?
So that, yes, that's triggering. Like that right there is a lot.
Okay,
right,
so
there. That has happened. That has happened.
The group is Christian Mothers Against Masturbation.
I just want to say something.
Young men, it's never okay to marry a masturbator.
I got to say, I was having this conversation the other day, and I do think it's true. All of us, and this is what is so crazy around what we're trying to do and what we could only hope to do for our children. We have been raised, we have been socialized, we have developed in places that are so sexually, I wouldn't even just say suppressed. It's like, but just wrong. Like it's overstimulated, yep, understimulated, talked about too much. You can't do it. What you should do. Abuse, power dynamic.
We are obsessed
misogyny,
with sex, especially in the United
racism.
States.
Like it's just, it's like, it's, I mean, it's literally, I'm in Amsterdam right now and I want to say it's everywhere. Like there's a way in which you can, you know, when you talk, it's interesting because going back to you watching
P-Valley
with Naya, I think part of what is hard, right, like why you can't sit and watch sexual content with children is because it's so unnatural. It's so unnatural. The way that it's like shown,
yes,
the way like it's unnatural, the way that even when it's an accurate portrayal of sex, it still is like, doesn't feel right because it's not right. You know, like it doesn't, it's like something about the power dynamics. It's like, it's just, it doesn't feel right. And in so, you can't really engage with, like, you can't feel comfortable in it. And I think so much of it has to do with power. Like, all of that is just about
oppression. And what you're seeing
like,
on screen is the,
women.
you're seeing the filter of all of the sexual trauma and repression and things of the male, the mostly male directors that put it on screen. So it's, you know, I was talking about in this vein, I was talking with the Glam Father and I was showing him this artist that I follow named I Am Muse, who does, you know, art for, I'm assuming she's lesbian. I think that's how she identifies. But it was like this, these feel like accurate depictions versus what we grew up watching that was clearly the fantasy of a man about two women having sex. And it, but so it's like you really have to look at the lens of the people, because sometimes it feels perverse in a way it shouldn't, because what you're trying to show is a regular act, but because of whatever is in your, so for example, talking about, we were talking about She's Gotta Have It, Spike Lee's movie versus the show. The show feels much better than the movie, but the, I remember watching a specific sex scene between the main character and her, a lesbian lover that she has that lives her life out as a lesbian full time. And she's in a relationship with this woman, and the main character identifies, I guess, as queer, but she's not, she's in relationship with men and women. And watching the scene, I remember Jason saying, this still feels like Spike's version of this. This doesn't, and I'm, he said it, not me. And he was like, it feels a little gratuitous. It feels a little bit like, ooh, I'm peeking inside the bedroom versus this is actually an intimate sexual situation that would happen between these women. And I thought of it and I was like, interesting. And you know, the first version of it, the black and white movie back in the 80s, there's a rape scene. And so we were, I was talking about this and he's apologized for it and said regretful, he regretted it and things like that. And I don't know if that's true or not true, but it is this idea of everything we're seeing is someone's shit on the screen around sex. And then we get formed, we form our opinions as kids based on these things. And so, watching P-Valley with her was like, this feels... All right, you got to go. And she was like, yeah, I'm going. I'm peace. I'm like, I'm not here. I'm not here. But back to the Christian Mothers Against Masturbation, it was just like, oh my gosh, how did we ever have sex? Ever in life? How did black people in the church ever get around to having having more kids?
Well, listen. So I don't know if I've mentioned this in an earlier episode. I don't think so. But another podcast that both of us are listening to, but we haven't really talked about again, is Octavia's Parable. And it is a podcast done by two women, Adrienne Marie Brown and Toshi Regan, where they go through Octavia's Parables, Parable of the Sower, and they're going to do Parable of the Talents and maybe talk about
the one we can't find, the book
that never came out, the one we can't find. And they do it chapter by chapter. It is, again, because you know, like, this is my favorite thing ever to just talk about intellectual shit and heady things and, like, just whatever. It's like a conversation you wish you were a part of and you get to be a part of, because the way that they've done it is by, like, asking you questions and reflecting on things, that all of this stuff. So every episode is a chapter of the book. And so the last episode, they talked about, if you have not read Parable of the Sower...
Go get your entire life.
Go get.
We have been talking about Octavia and Adrienne Marie Brown at work all last week. Oddly enough.
Well, let me just say, listen. So, just if you have not read any Octavia Butler, you need to go do that. But specifically, you need to go get The Parable of Sowers. It is not. It is not a happy story, but is necessary.
But it is what's happening right now.
So one of the things, it is. It's uncanny. So to the date and time that she wrote it, to the date that she wrote it for, the future, her future is now dated correctly
with all of the things happening.
Because when you know, you know. But interestingly enough, what one of the topics they were talking about was this idea of knowing the future, and how the main character Lauren is trying to tell her friend and different people, like, this is what's coming. Shit's about to pop off. Like, we need to act. We need to move. We need to, like, get our lives together. And they're like, you think you can tell the future? Like, you can't, you don't know what's going on. You can't tell the future. And she was like, yeah, anybody could tell the future if you get past the fear and just look at what's coming. And it may, I mean, it was like gut, you know what I mean? Because, getting past that fear part so you can, like, people, like, you don't have to be psychic. Like, it's not about being able to, you know, see what's, like, you know, like, you can just use your, all your senses, all your experiences, and make an inference. That's what we do every day. You do that all the time. You can infer, if this and this and this happens, or this and this where we are right now, this is what's going on. And you don't need to be a academic. You don't need to, like, have data, like, sets. You don't
take
have
a red
to,
line
like,
from an X and use the clues and follow it. Just follow it through, literally.
Yes. Use your brain. You know how to get to the store, right? You know how to, like, cook a meal. Like, use your brain. That same brain, you could see where it's coming. And I think a lot of time, you know, we're here in, with my family, we moved to Amsterdam right as the, you know, pandemic was
the day before the United States shut down the leaving. Yes.
Yeah, right. And people often, like, how did you know? And so much of it is like, we all knew. Exactly. Everybody knew. Everybody knows. But the ability to look past the fear of what does that really mean and act accordingly for you, for whatever makes sense for you. People are still struggling with that idea of like what happened? Like, it's not even possible that Trump could be reelected. That's not even a possibility. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. And regardless, global warming is coming. Like, shit is happening. Not coming, is here. Like, shit is happening. It was so funny. Like, not funny, it's kind of sad. But I saw that there is I forgot that it's hurricane season. And then I heard, I was like, oh, there's a hurricane about to touch down in the U.S. And I was like, oh, right.
They've been getting worse. And they've been getting worse every year. Yes.
That's going to be a thing. And now we have this, and now we have that, and then it's November, and we're doing all of these things. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot. So please go and get your life and read Parable of Sower. And even if you don't read it, I will say, even if you don't if you have not read the book, I think you can still enjoy and listen and get a lot out of the podcast, which is powerful that they are able to do that. And so thank you,
Alika.
This podcast was produced by Domino Sound.
You can find hashtag Triggered wherever you get your podcasts. And please remember to rate, review, and share.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.